Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy and QT with you as always. Real quick before we jump into things, if you're looking for some wrestling today, you can find myself at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland like usual. You can also find Pro Wrestling Today in Indianapolis, Fight or Die Wrestling happening there. Primo's Pro Wrestling happening in Denver, Colorado, and also in Portland, Oregon, DOA Pro Wrestling, getting underway in about an hour. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest to the show. He just wrapped up a show a little while ago in Virginia Beach, and I want to welcome to the show Franco Varga.
What's up? You said it wrong. It's the biggest wrestler ever, Franco Varga, but you'll get it right next time. How you guys doing, man? How you doing?
Doing very well. Well, since it is your first time with us, we're going to start you out with the traditional first-timers question. What led to you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I have a little bit of different, you know, story. I know a lot of guys, they loved it and all that, and they wanted to do it their whole lives, blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes, right? So I was a Attitude Era guy, watched the Attitude Era, loved it, and then I kind of stopped watching. And I never knew anything about indie wrestling. And then I had a guy, I was playing college football, and I had a guy come up to me and say, hey, man, they're doing this wrestling thing. It's independent wrestling. And I was like, independent from what? You know, there's just WWE. And they're like, no, there's this whole scene of these smaller companies that are just killing it. So I was like, oh, sweet. So then I go to the tryout. There's like 14 guys. I'm the only one who makes it through the whole thing. And then, of course, I got the bug. You know, I just started wrestling. I started in Denver with a company, New Era Wrestling. Really, really great group of guys. So I started out there, did my thing in Denver, did some loops in Amarillo, New Mexico, did a bunch of loops, and then I moved to the East Coast, and I got sent to Puerto Rico for a while to work with Carlos with the recommendation of Gerald Briscoe, and then kind of off to the races from there. I've traveled all over the world. I've been to almost every major country as far as wrestling is concerned, and 7 years later, I'm still doing it, and unfortunately, right? No, but yeah, I'm still doing it, and yeah, that's kind of my story into wrestling, so.
Well, you say you have met promotions in all the major countries. You have traveled on, in fact, and wrestled over in England, and just announced today, from my understanding, you will be going in July to Australia for Impact Pro Wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about how this came to be?
Yeah, we've been working on this for a while now. It's I'm not, like, big on canceling dates. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there, period, you know. So if I can't make your thing, then I can't make your thing maybe next time. And between like, Canada and the time I went to Japan, for All Japan. We've been trying to get this Australia thing locked down and get it done. And this time we finally, like, have a date that we can all sit down and say, yes, this one works for everybody. Let's lock it down. Let's get the flyers, do all that. And then we're finally like, yes, let's work together. So, yeah, absolutely, you know, they got me going out there to Australia. I'm super stoked. They're super stoked. So hopefully the fans are super stoked, and it'll be a great, great couple weeks to be out there. So.
Now, for someone like yourself that has traveled internationally to a variety of different places and someone that's wrestled in a lot of different states, you probably noticed that fans react to and respond to professional wrestling differently based on areas. A lot of it has to do with what they grew up as far as when territorial wrestling was around, that shape their preferences and so forth. Some of it's just a generational thing or a societal thing. But when you wrestle and you go into different places, how do you kind of gauge what fans will and won't accept out of you as far as what you're trying to present to them?
Yeah, well, you know, thank God we're not wrestling in the 80s anymore, because those guys must have had a tough traveling as much. You know, if they were traveling to different countries like I am. I mean, we have the power of the internet now. A lot of these fans will know who I am before I get there, which is great, because the promotions, they'll tell them, you know, who's coming, and they'll go on there and they'll find out, kind of look at my stuff and all that. So a lot of the fan base, the hardcore fans, you know, the ones that are there every show, they look you up and they kind of see what you do and kind of things like that. I've even had fans order T-shirts before, so I see T-shirts in the crowd before I even get there, which is awesome. Shout out to the UK fans. They're crazy like that, but they're awesome like that too. And then, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, like you said, it's generational things. A lot of times it's also stereotypes, you know? So like they expect me to have an accent when, you know, when I don't, things like that. So they expect me to do certain things. Certain countries, you have to be a heel. Certain countries, you immediately, you're a baby face. A guy like me, a guy that looks like me, immediately when I went to Mexico, could not be a heel, not one day while I was there. They're like, you're never going to get over as a heel here, so you're definitely the baby face. And they were 100% right, because I got over as soon as I didn't have to do anything. There's just certain ways and certain guys look that they like, you know, down there. So it depends, like you said, it does depend on what they're used to, what they like, but they kind of set the rules as far as what they'll accept and kind of what they will kind of, you know, not react to. That's true. But at the end of the day, if you're doing and you're working the psychology correctly, pro wrestling is pro wrestling. So you can kind of get over, to an extent, anything. But yeah, they know what they like. That's always good. Always kind of. That's my first question, is what do they like here? You know, what do they know here? What do they expect here? So absolutely, yeah. So certain countries I'm a baby face, certain countries I'm a heel. So yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
And you mentioned going down to Mexico, lucha wrestling is something that's really taken off here in the United States over the last few years. It's become more and more popular amongst the fans. We see a lot of lucha-based promotions popping up all over the United States, not just in the traditional heavy Latin markets like Arizona or Texas. It's all over the map in the United States now. What do you think led to the explosion of the lucha style in America?
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't say that there was an explosion. I mean, lucha shows have always been there. It's just that people are paying a little more attention now, because the best of the best as far as lucha guys have been put on TV, and it wasn't just Rey Mysterio. That's who everybody knew, was Rey Mysterio, Psychosis, those kinds of guys that had TV time. Now they got the Lucha Bros, the guys like that. That it's not that there's an explosion of promotions or anything like that. Those promotions have been there. If you really look into them, they've been there, or they've changed names, or, you know, and then they're also, they're normally on a night that pro wrestling really isn't sought out for, which is Sunday. But in their country, Sunday is a big day for pro wrestling. So in America, Sunday's not a big day for pro wrestling. You really don't see too many mega shows on Sundays. You normally see them on Fridays or Saturdays, mainly Saturdays. So more fans are paying more attention to that style of wrestling. And then because of that, a lot of the big shows are bringing that style of wrestling to their fan base because that's, you know, also what they want. So I wouldn't say that they're not, they were there the entire time. They were there. If you even look into it, they were there. Those promotions have been there. It's just that people are out there looking for it now. They're seeing it on TV and they want more. So they're going out on a Sunday or they're going to see these guys on a Saturday that are normally wrestling Sundays only and coming and bringing them to the bigger shows. So yeah. And good for them. I love that style. I've worked the style myself. It's a little unorthodox for the American guy to kind of walk right into that because it's a whole different kind of art. And in Mexico itself, it's more of a no kayfabe zone. So there isn't, you don't really have to do that, but it's harder to entertain that fan that feels like they're, you know, in on it. So there's a whole different style to it, but yeah, crazy amount of respect for those guys because of the athleticism that goes into it. A lot of that stuff, it looks like anyone could do it, but it takes a lot. So, but yeah, those promotions have been there, man. I can guarantee you go look into them. They've been there. They've been running since like 99 or something crazy like that. And they're like, wow, this place has been here the whole time. You guys have been doing the shows in this little tiny soccer field this whole time? Yes, they've been there. Trust me.
Now, one of the more recent aspects of independent wrestling is the advent of streaming the live shows. Lots of independent companies have live streams on their shows, be it through Twitch or the Roku channels or YouTube, but more and more people are seeing independent shows on all of their mobile devices.
Yep.
Do you think that overall doing this is going to help the growth of independent pro wrestling, or do you think this will be something that keeps fans from going out to the live shows to support and ultimately hurt independent pro wrestling?
Well, yeah, I think you have a great point there. It can hurt the shows, it really can. But at the same time, if you're selling out the show and you've got to turn people away, hopefully you can turn them away and send them to go watch it on their phone or tablet or whatever. So that's ultimately the goal. There's a promotion that I'm actually contracted with, Infinite Pro Wrestling. They're based out of Delaware, Ohio, West Virginia. And basically they do a pay-per-view, and I've seen it where they just don't have any more seats and they run in so many states that, those fans from Ohio, there's just no way they're going to drive 10 hours to a show that they're doing in Delaware. So you'll see 400 or 500 people on pay-per-view watching and not missing the action and kind of following it. So the next time they hit that town, they're going to put those butts in the seats because they missed the last show. They have to watch the last show online. So that brings them, you know, to the live show and vice versa. The people who just watched the last live show and loved it, they go online and pay for the pay-per-view because they're not in town. So what hurts is this: the guys that run the same town every time, and then they do pay-per-view as well. That can kind of keep the fans from, well, I'm just going to watch it on my couch versus driving and parking and paying for parking and you know, buying beer and all that other stuff. Well, they're just probably going to sit at home and watch it if they're really a diehard fan. If anything comes up, they're just going to sit at home and watch it or maybe watch it the next day. And that's kind of what hurts sometimes with the independent wrestling. Because we're not the WWE. We're not gonna have 70,000 some people. We know those numbers are here, no there. But let's say you have 70,000 people at WrestleMania, and triple that amount on pay per view. Yeah, those people are watching from all over the world, and WWE can't be all over the world at the same time. So that's kind of where you can, if they follow that same model in different states, it can be beneficial and it can work. But if you're running the same every time, I really wouldn't expect pay-per-view from those places. But when you see it, you know, sometimes it can be a good thing or a bad thing.
Now, One of the things that kind of goes hand in hand with that is on Viceland, they are airing a series of wrestling-based documentaries. They've been very well received by fans and by critics so far. One of them had to do with the murder of Bruiser Brody recently. That still is a very haunting subject to a lot of people within the wrestling industry. Did you happen to watch the documentary that dealt with Bruiser Brody's murder, and do you have any opinions on the documentary and or the situation that happened down there?
This isn't the first time this month that I've been asked that question. So being Puerto Rican and being from, you know, that part of wrestling, I guess, and working there myself, and, you know, I'm too young to tell you anything. I wasn't there, right? That happened before I was probably basically before I was born, or I was in diapers, right? But at the same time, I know a lot of guys. My wrestling dad is Tony Atlas, you know? So I speak to him once a week. I love the guy. And I have, you know, we haven't even spoken about it. So it's one of those things that I just don't think it's great to be documented, and it's great that they have the documentary and they're putting light on it. But at the same time, the blame goes to a lot of guys that no longer are wrestling or a market that no longer deserves that the bad rep for what happened. I understand the guy lost his life, and I understand that, you know, he was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I'm not saying that, but I just think this Puerto Rican scene doesn't really deserve that rep anymore. From what I understand, it was very, very, very toxic back then. It was very, very bad back then. But I can attest myself, the scene is great. I think it's one of the best places to learn pro wrestling. After, of course, you get trained and you do all that, I would recommend it for anyone to go over there. At least, you know, 3 months. Some guys go for a year, but at least 3 months go, and you're wrestling almost every day, which is almost impossible to do in America. So I would tell any guy, doesn't matter, white, black, Asian, Puerto Rican, Hispanic of any kind, Mexican, it doesn't matter. I would say go over there, wrestle over there, don't worry about it. It's not the same place of when that happened, you know. It was unfortunate, you know, of course, but I'm glad that the documentary is coming out. But at the same time, I do want people to understand that that's not the same place. It's not the same era of time of when it happened. So I don't really have an opinion because I was probably in diapers, like I said, and I think it's very unfortunate. That's the obvious thing. But I just think I'm glad that the documentary is out. I just think I haven't watched it. I probably will sit down and watch it. But at the same time, I just don't. I don't think it's something that we need to be putting a lot of weight on anymore. Yes, this happened, and yes, you know, it's great for people to know about it. But I just don't think. I mean, does it really even define the actual story? I think it probably leaves out a lot of things because a lot of people left out a lot of things back then. So I don't even know if the full truth is there. You know, so. That's kind of a tough one, especially being Puerto Rican. I get asked that question, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of a tough one for me to have a real opinion about it because that's like me asking, you know, someone in their 20s, like, hey, man, you know, how do you think Andre the Giant really was? They have no idea. They have no idea. So it's kind of a tough question to ask, you know, me as a Puerto Rican wrestler and me as a wrestler, period, you know. So as a fan, of course, it sucks that it happened. But, you know, as a wrestler, yes, that's kind of tough for me to have any kind of opinion on.
Fair enough. Now, as someone that has wrestled in a lot of different places like yourself, obviously you've come up against a very wide variety of opponents. I'm sure you've wrestled guys that are larger than you as far as physical stature. I'm sure you've wrestled many guys smaller than you. What would you say is the biggest size difference you've had on both ends of the spectrum?
Well, you know, that's what they call me, the biggest wrestler ever. No, but no, you're absolutely right. I've wrestled guys that are way taller. I've wrestled guys that are way heavier than me. But you're right. I mean, one of the tall guys that I think is going to be excellent in the business is a second-generation star, Big Sean Studd, the son of Big John Studd. He's super tall guy, super great in the ring. As far as like one of the tallest, leanest guys, definitely awesome. He's gonna be great. And then big guys. I mean, there's a ton of big guys. But yeah, I think all over the world, even in Japan, there's a lot of really big guys that deserve a lot of credit and a lot of things coming to them. But I think my favorite guy my size, if I was gonna say my size, I'd say Michael Elgin. I mean, we've killed it in the ring before. So one of my favorite guys to work for sure, Michael Elgin. So big shout out to him. I'm sure you guys know who that is. And of course, there's the Brian Cages. Love Brian. Brian's a freak of nature. It's like wrestling an action figure, you know. So he's another great guy who's just like, man, how is this guy? He must have like an extra 2-3 hours a day, every day to work out that everyone doesn't get. So, but yeah, he's just a freaking angel, man.
What about on the flip side of that? Who's been the smallest opponent that you've faced?
Oh, man. So he's Short Sleeve Samson's been awesome to work with. He's, I guess, so for lack of better terms, he calls himself a midget wrestler, but I just think, you know, Short Sleeve Samson was awesome. And then smaller, I mean, there's, he's definitely the smallest stature I've ever wrestled that was really, really good in the ring. Yeah, I'd say definitely, for sure. I mean, he's crazy. I mean, as far as experience-wise, he's got the crazy amounts of experience. So, definitely Short Sleeve.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT.
Sweet.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mr. Varga.
What's up, QT?
Not too much. Mr. Varga, I saw your YouTube video where you were at a slightly windy Virginia beach, and it looked like it was around 8 o'clock at night. Twilight was setting in. My first question is, have you lived in the Virginia Beach area for about a decade?
No, absolutely not. No. So after kind of I finished up on the West Coast and did a little bit of traveling, I decided maybe the East Coast is where I wanted to be. So I've been here about four years. But I don't live in Virginia itself. I tried to find a spot kind of in the middle of everything. So right now Delaware is where I live full time when I am there, you know. But yeah, Delaware is definitely my home right now.
When you were out on the West Coast, did you ever wrestle in and around San Francisco? And if so, was one of the venues that you wrestled in, was it the Cow Palace?
No, I've always heard about the Cow Palace. I actually did a few things for WWE when I was in California. That's as far as all I've seen as far as California. I haven't done any indies in California, unfortunately, but that might change here pretty soon. I might get a couple weeks and go to California. But as far as my wrestling in California, it was only doing some dark stuff for WWE and a few like extra things for WWE while I was there.
Did you know that the Cow Palace was the scene of the last concert before the original group broke up in 1978?
Oh, wow. I did not know that. All I've heard about the Cow Palace is it's one of those must wrestle places. I mean, there's the Cow Palace. There's, of course, the Garden. There's the Blackpool Tower, which I just did. I just wrestled the Blackpool Tower with Preston City Wrestling. So that was checked off the list. And then, of course, there's where's the other one? Yeah, I think that was the big three in the Cow Palace and the Garden and the Blackpool Tower. So, yeah.
Did you ever get up to Oregon to wrestle?
No, not yet. I think, who was I talking to? I guess I tried to work some things out with PPW, but that was right around the time I was moving. So who's up there? I guess, yeah, shout out to D'Lo Brown, who's on the staff up there for PPW in Oregon. But, yeah, I've heard great things, but, yeah, no, I haven't yet.
Yes, Oregon has had a rich history in wrestling, dating back to the 60s and 70s with promoter Don Owens, who always treated his wrestlers very thoroughly. Do you ever go on YouTube and look up the glory days in the 60s and 70s of Portland wrestling with manager Don Owens?
Well, so as a wrestler, I think any wrestler should be doing their homework as far as things of the past. I mean, you can't really dictate the future unless you know your past. So kind of that's what I've done. I've gone and mimicked the guys my size and the guys that I've, you know, idolized and things like that. And people I've, not the crazy well-known, but more of the mid-carders and guys like that, that never really made a huge name but had somewhat of a name in the 60s and 70s. That's who I kind of go back and watch. So, yeah, I have done a lot of research as far as the 60s and 70s go.
Well, very good. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, getting back to that video you made on the beach, why do you prefer the beach at night as compared to the day?
Right, yeah. So, I just hate the beach during the day. I just do. And, I mean, I know hate's a strong word, but I really dislike the beach during the day. Not because I have a great bod, because, you know, I'm pretty now, but it's super hot. I mean, I get all agitated with everything. I just love the, and it's just so much better at night. I would prefer any beach at night. I know people are always saying you got to try Rio, you got to try a few places at the beaches. It's really, really nice. Miami Beach I've done at night, and I just rather go at night. Just less people, you can really enjoy the beach. And it's like a lot cooler. You don't really need to wear like little short shorts to stay kind of, you don't really have to overly hydrate. You can have a nice beer and just sit on the beach and really enjoy yourself. So that's why I prefer the beach at night personally.
Well, I wouldn't recommend the beach at Rio. You get pickpocketed at our rock. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, to strengthen your legs for wrestling plus endurance, do you run in the sand with a full military pack filled with weights?
So I don't know if you guys like know. So I used to be in the Air Force a long, long time ago before I started wrestling. Actually, right before I started wrestling, that's kind of where. So I have some of the bigger legs. I really enjoy my squats, really enjoy some really good different cardio, though. I really hate the sitting around doing regular cardio. I love the high-intensity cardio. So when I broke my ankle in 2016, that's what really drove me nuts, is I really couldn't do any leg presses, couldn't do anything really with legs. So you know, a lot of definition on my legs went down. But yeah, I mean, if I'm going to do anything during the week as far as weights are concerned, it's going to be legs. I think I'm a freak when it comes to legs. Anything else, you know, I'm pretty average chest-wise, you know. But legs, that's my thing. I love legs. So, yeah, that's my day. A lot of people dread leg day. I love leg day. So I guess I'm weird like that.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, you said you were from Puerto Rico. Many great boxers have come out of Puerto Rico, like Felix Trinidad, Miguel Cotto, Juan Manuel Lopez, and Wilfredo Gomez. Felix Trinidad had a huge victory over Oscar De La Hoya. Miguel Cotto was the first Puerto Rican boxer to win world titles in weight divisions. Juan Manuel Lopez held titles in the featherweight and super featherweight division, and of his 35 wins, 32 came by knockout. My question is, did you ever try boxing as a youngster, and do you use sparring as a form of wrestling training?
Yeah, great question. And man, I love Trinidad. You kind of brought back some memories of me as a kid, or more of a teenager, because there's a picture in my dad's living room. Trinidad and my dad when he was fighting at the Garden, because I grew up in New York City as well. So Trinidad, you know, my dad knew Trinidad. I don't know exactly how, but he has a picture of him. So they kind of know a lot of the same people. But yeah, Trinidad's a great, great guy. I remember him being super, super nice to me. So as far as boxing, I've always used boxing for cardio. If I'm going to break up my cardio, I just try to box. I've learned to box, but I just never really enjoyed it as a sport or something I could see myself doing. My dad and his dad before him were amateur boxers, but I never really took it up as something I wanted to do or could see myself doing. So that's kind of where pro wrestling kind of turns into, as far as boxing. I kind of use a little bit of boxing as for my strikes, and you got to be able to come really, really close to someone without killing them. You know, I'm sure you guys know in pro wrestling. So if you see some of my strikes, you'll see I throw a lot of punches, and punches that look really, really real or really, really close to the guy. And I pride myself in that. So yeah, boxing is it's not my favorite thing in the world, but it's definitely what I've studied and used, and I love it for cardio. I love boxing for cardio.
Oh, very nice. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, Miguel Cotto represented Puerto Rico in the 1999 Pan Am Games, the 2000 Olympics, and the 1998 Junior World Championship. And Wilfredo Gomez had a very good record of 44 wins, 3 losses, and 1 draw. He also had 90 wins and 3 losses as an amateur, and he also was an Olympian, having competed in the 1972 Olympics. Probably the best victory of Wilfredo Gomez's Wilfredo's career is when he defeated Carlos Duarte, great bantamweight champ, who had a 55-0 record coming into the fight with 54 knockouts in their bout in San Juan. My question is, have you gone up against any pro wrestlers in the state of Virginia who had a 55-bout win streak like Carlos Zarate?
No. I mean, definitely not in Virginia, and not anywhere. I mean, I've wrestled a multitude of states. I can't. I think Hawaii. What am I missing? Hawaii and Alabama, Mississippi. I think I'm missing those states as far as the states that I. Oh, no, and Alaska, of course. I'm missing those states as far as the states that I haven't wrestled in at least once. So I've never bumped into anyone. You know, it's pro wrestling, so none of us are really Goldberging right now. So I don't think anyone's kind of flaunting any 55-0 records. I mean, you win some, you lose some, and you go home, you know. But I think as far as the closest I've come to would be the I just did the PCW tournament that has everyone from all over the world. So I actually represented America in that tournament, and someone from England won the tournament this year. So yeah, I think that was the closest thing I've come to something like that. The Road to Glory is what it's called. So yeah, I got to represent America and Puerto Rico at the same time. So yeah, that's the closest I've come to something like that.
Well, okay. Mr. Vargas, there is a beach in Puerto Rico that is called Playa Negra, and it has black sand. The black sand is by the mixture of sedimentary rock and the shifting tectonic plates that formed the island many millions of years ago. My question is, do you know of any wrestlers from Puerto Rico that have smuggled a vial of the sand into the United States, carried this vial of sand into the ring, and used it as a foreign object?
No, I've never seen anyone use like this black sand. That's actually a really good idea. So, no, but I've never seen anyone use it. I think the biggest thing in Puerto Rico is, you know, of course, if you like the history of it, it's a lot of blood. Some of the best cutters in the world have been to Puerto Rico and back. So that's the big thing over there is this blood. So I never really seen any sand thrown. I've personally seen people throw cups of urine, use batteries. I mean, some crazy stuff. But I've never seen any sand, especially black sand, used. But no, that's a good one. Yeah, it's a really good idea. That's a really good idea.
Oh, all right. Well, if you ever get up to Oregon or Washington, could you bring Sign Guy a small vial of sand from Playa Negra Beach? That's what
I will definitely try. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, who is this monster Asafe that you recently wrestled? The wrestler known for cheap shots.
Yeah. Safi is a great, great, great opponent for a guy like me. I actually wrestled him on the first night of the Taco Fest here in Virginia. Really, really cool. I actually wrestled him before in Evolution Wrestling in North Carolina. He's actually related to the Samoan family that way. So he's, you know, he knows his stuff. Great opponent. Great guy. Yeah, you definitely got to watch the cheap shots with him, though. You got to watch him pretty close. But, yeah, great guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, is the Taco Festival going on today? And, indeed, is the specialty taco your favorite food?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was a Brazilian taco that actually kind of took me aback a little bit. That was actually I had no idea they were that good at that. But, yeah, I think anyone who's still there, I actually took off. I'm done with the wrestling is done. So first night and the second night are done so far. And it was a great experience, great crowds. But I think anyone there needs to try that Brazilian taco. You have to, period. You have to.
All right, okay. Well, Mr. Varga, do you yourself have a favorite hot sauce? And if so, what is the name of it? Would it be Texas Pete, Cholula, or maybe Frank's Red?
Ooh, if I have a favorite hot sauce, you know what's funny is, and my parents have always, my entire family's always given me a hard time about this. I really don't do hot sauce. I know it's like, what are you talking about? You're Hispanic. No, I really don't do hot sauce. But if I had to, I'd say sriracha is the closest thing that I can kind of bear without, like, complaining too much and wanting a huge thing of water. So I think sriracha is actually, it is pretty watered down. It's not the hottest thing, but that's what I could use. I don't really do hot food or spicy food too much. So, yeah, I know I'm a letdown in that department.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, we have not interviewed many wrestlers who have wrestled in the state of Maine, but you did on April 27th at Naradaga High School in the city of Harrington. Is it true you wrestled the established global independent wrestling champion, Wesley Pipes?
I did, and did you know that I am now the new global independent wrestling champion because I beat Wesley Pipes. Thank you very much. The entire state of Maine is welcome for my presence. It's like the trek that no one wants to go to. It's the hike that no one wants to take. But I made it. I came. I saw, and I conquered. I'm the new global independent wrestling champion. They booed me out of the building, but it's fine because I left with the championship. So that's also on social media. You can see that as well. And I'll be back in Maine in September to defend my new global independent wrestling championship. So, yeah.
Was your win over Wesley Pipes by submission?
No. I beat him with my finisher, which no one ever kicks out of because that's what we call it, a finisher. And, no, I beat him clean as they, some people said I hit him a little below the waist. I don't think so. I think I beat him clean.
All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, Maine is known for its clamshell. Do you yourself know the difference between Manhattan clam chowder and Boston clam chowder?
I've tried them both. I think they're gross. clam chowder is not for me. I think if there was a difference, I'd say the Boston version of the clam chowder is a little more watery, a lot less thick than Maine's version. Not my favorite.
Well, Manhattan clam chowder is the red and tomato-based, and Boston is the milk-based. Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, well, now, Mr. Varga, with the sixth pick of the 2019 NFL draft, the New York Giants.
You're going to rub this in my face, yeah. Daniel Jones. Yeah, I'll finish it for you. Yeah, my Giants, man. I've been a long-time diehard, my entire life, Giants fan. It doesn't matter if they're having a good year or a bad year. It doesn't matter if we won the Super Bowl. Me and my dad actually got to go to one of the Super Bowls the Giants were in. Man, Daniel Jones was not the pick. I mean, I hope he proves us wrong. I really do. But he just don't draft the guy at six. I mean, the guy we could have drafted him in the second round. Everyone knows that at this point. And, there's a lot of controversy, man. I hope for his sake that he can shut everybody up. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Especially I'm a big believer in Eli Manning. I love the guy. He's done no wrong by me. I mean, I think they could have helped him out by drafting some offensive line, maybe some maybe a little bit of help on the defensive side, maybe even a wide receiver. They could have got a lot more for their money and saved on Daniel Jones, but it is what it is now.
Would you agree with me that Daniel Jones bears a slight resemblance to WWE superstar Ron Simmons?
What? Ron Simmons?
Yes. Yes.
No way.
The
not
Dana
at
man.
All.
Oh.
Not
okay.
at all. Not at all.
Oh, all right.
He looks more like
okay.
Shane McMahon than anything else.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, I guess so. Also. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, if the WWE held a draft and drafted you number one, what would the commentators say about you?
They could have got me in the second round as well. No, I think, what would they say about me drafting me number one? I think they'd probably say it because of experience and ability in the ring. But I don't fit the mold of the WWE, and I don't. They probably say, man, we finally got this guy to agree to something because I just don't want to be there. And that's the absolute truth. If I got a phone call today, I'd tell them I'd have to call them back because I just don't want to be there. So I'm having way too much fun. I get to see so much of the world on my own schedule. And that's why we love this. A lot of us love the world of independent wrestling. We get to work for the people we like. We get to work with the guys that we somewhat may like, and then we get to see the world of professional wrestling through different countries and different places, different states, and then we do kind of crazy things like the taco festival. You know, I don't ever see WWE doing a taco festival, so this was I would have never done that if I was with the WWE. I would have just been in some little town doing another house show, just ready to go back to my hotel room. I don't want to live like that. So I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to give up all this fun that I'm having. So that'll be what they say. Man, we finally got them to agree to it. So, yeah.
Oh, well said. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, the world's largest telescope is also located in Puerto Rico. It is used to look for and track asteroids in space and also determine if they are on a crash course for the United States. My question is, are there any truths to the rumors that you are developing a new finishing move called the crash course.
No. I mean, a lot of people know my my finishing move currently now. It's like a F5 into a stunner, and I call that the nap time express. Just because it's nap time after that, and it's an homage to some of my favorite wrestlers from back in the 80s, all the Express groups, Midnight Express, to be specific, that's one of my favorites, and of course, so that's kind of what my finisher is now. But no, the Crash Course, I think, wasn't that like Crash Holly from back in the day? I think that's already been used.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, when you drop other wrestlers on their heads during a pile driver, do they complain of being hit by an asteroid?
Not yet. That's one of those moves in pro wrestling. You just, I don't do it. I don't do pile drivers. But no, not yet. I have not yet heard any kind of complaints.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, the unofficial mascot of Puerto Rico is a tiny tree frog named after the loud sound it makes. This tree frog is known as El Coqui. Coqui. Yes.
Coqui, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. My question is, how come you don't see any lucha wrestlers called El Coqui or tree frog?
El Coqui, if you're not from there, you're kind of, that's the first thing you realize at night is what is that outside? Even myself, I've gone outside and been like, what is that? So, it's pretty loud. It gets pretty loud. I guess most Puerto Rican wrestlers, we're not really mass wrestlers. So we don't really fall into that mold as far as, mass wrestlers, but we have had a bunch of guys use it as a, kind of their motto or mascot or something like that. It's, put it on their wrestling gear, as far as, paying homage to Puerto Rico. But yeah, no, we haven't had any mask guy as the Coqui. That's a good idea.
Oh, okay. Well, both Sean Guy and myself come up with good ideas. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, Mr. Varga, have you ever pushed yourself in training so hard that you've thrown up, or have you known anyone who has?
Yeah, man, I've been there myself multiple times. Those are the best days for me. It's just lifting so many weights, going so heavy, trying to get a new PR that I'm just like, man, I'm going to puke, and I'm going to keep puking until I get this PR today. And you push yourself until you either puke or you do get that personal record. So I have come close to beating my personal record, which right now is 1200 pounds on the leg squat machine there, which is what I kind of try to push myself to do. But yeah, I have puked a few times, and not like flying puke, but I puked in my own mouth before and had to put the weights up and go spit it out. But yeah, I've been there, man. That's how you're actually doing work in the gym.
Well, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, Drew McIntyre and Roddy Roddy Piper were good examples of wrestlers with Scottish heritage that left a big imprint on the WWE. Lesser-known wrestlers back in the 1950s and 60s, Ian McLaughlin and Sean O'Malley, also paved the way on the East Coast. My question is, would you yourself like to see a clash of the cultures pop up late this year between two wrestlers, be it lady or men, from Puerto Rico and Scotland?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and not even just in pro wrestling. I'd love to see it in MMA. I'd love to see like a Puerto Rican take on Conor McGregor. That would be great for Puerto Rico. I mean, just to put it on the map, but yeah, as far as pro wrestling, yeah, I mean, we've come a long way. We've had Fabio, we've had Carlito, who I recently beat the crap out of, and shout out to Carlito, and Yeah, so, I mean, we've had our fair share of guys leave an imprint in WWE and still leaving an imprint. But as far as megastars, we haven't really made known for the megastars, unfortunately. But I think at MMA, that would be great to see if someone take on Conor McGregor while he's still fighting, hopefully, from Puerto Rico. So that'd be great. That'd be good for us.
How do you think the track and field athletes from Puerto Rico would do in the Highland Games where they throw the caber and the shot put?
I mean, we've always been known for being some big, strong boys, man. So, yeah, we'd always do pretty well. I actually threw shot put myself in high school. So, yeah, it's no stranger to that at all. Yeah, we do all right. We don't really get to represent ourselves in the Olympics. We fall under America. So, of course, there's a ton of competition that way. So you don't really see Puerto Rico like that. But yeah, I think one day you'll definitely see some.
Now, speaking of Carlito, have you yourself ever spit in the face of somebody not cool?
No, but I guess wasn't being cool because I got spit in the face myself, and it wasn't very pleasant. It really wasn't nice. And I am not I'm not big on apples. So having all that apple in my mouth was really pissing me off.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, were you a bigger fan of Ric Flair's woo or Ron Simmons' damn?
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of the guys know me personally. And, you know, a lot of fans know this by now because we've told the story. But I got to go on tour with Ron Simmons, a big tour of Canada. It was over 30 days. And, you know, I basically we sat all in the same car. So I got a little sick and tired of the damn thing all the time because that's how he really is. So, but if I had a favorite, of course, that's definitely, I love the guy and I love the damn thing. It was so easy. You know, it's like we're all out here doing all these moves and doing all this stuff and falling on our backs for a living. And the guy figures out all he has to say is damn. And he makes a killing. He makes way more than a lot of us do off of just one word. So it's genius.
Wow,
so big shout
agree.
Out to Ron.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, on August 31st, the college football season kicks off. Here in the Northwest, the University of Washington will play Eastern Washington. School spirit will be high, and by that time, the cheerleading squads will have been set. My question is, were you a big fan of the Spirit Squad and especially Mikey?
Oh, man. Any gimmicks, man, if you know me, I love gimmick wrestling. Any gimmicks are the best. Doink was one of my favorites just to this day. Anyone who can pull that off, it takes a special person, you know? Anyone can be, you know, have a great body and go up there, you know, and do that and be the body guy. You know, it doesn't take – anyone can pull that off. But if night in and night out being the clown gimmick, I mean, that takes a lot. So, yeah, I loved any three count – loved all those gimmicks. So gimmick wrestling is just super awesome to me. I think – yeah, so absolutely. I definitely would have loved to see a little more of that, you know. And, I mean, Washington's cool, but everyone's talking about the Wyoming Cowboys this year, so let's go boys.
Ooh, Wyoming, okay. Wyoming, wow. All right. Well, Mr. Varga, I have seen referees in the Northwest being invited to dance-offs in the ring. After the wrestler asks either the ref or his just-wrestled opponent to a dance-off, the crowd is usually receptive. Scotty Too Hotty was known to encourage Rikishi Fatu to show off a few dance steps. My question is, when you go to Australia, do you plan to make a special side trip to the Northern Territories and challenge any Aborigines who are willing to a dance-off?
Of course. I mean... I'm not known for being the best dancer. I think if you follow independent wrestling, there's a guy named Sugar Dunkerton. Amazing, amazing dancer. And definitely pulls off the dance-off gimmick great. So I wouldn't challenge him because he's definitely kicked my ass in a dance-off. But I'm not known for being the best dancer. After I beat him, put him down 1, 2, 3, who knows? We'll see. We'll see. Might have to catch me on social media. See, I might bust out some moves.
Wow. Right. Okay. Well, Mr. Varga, if you had to choose between these two songs for your Aboriginal dance-off, which one would you choose? The country song, Achy Breaky Heart, or Black Sabbath's Hand of Doom?
Achy Breaky Heart is a classic. Of course. Hands down.
Oh, all right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Varga, we're down to the last few minutes, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I do want to thank QT for some of those questions. Man, that was really, really entertaining for me. So I really, really thank you for that. And, of course, Sign Guy, thanks for having me on here. As far as where you can find me, of course, it's well known I am under contract with Infinite Pro Wrestling. So definitely check me out, Infinite Pro Wrestling, infiniteprowrestling.com. And we'll be all over the place. We have a show May 11th in West Virginia, homecoming, big title defense there. I'll be in Missouri. Actually, I'll be in your kind of close to your guys' part of town. But I'll be in Missouri for a big show there, May 18th. And then after that, of course, I'll be in Australia for Impact, Impact Australia. Always will be in the UK, PCW, Impact UK. You can see me on TV. I'm on TV weekly in the UK, Fight Network UK. And then, of course, Pro Wrestling Tees /Franco, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Franco at Franco Wrestles. Yeah, man, catch me, the Big Poppy, any town near you. I'll be around all over the place. You'll just follow me on social media. You'll see I'm in a different state every weekend, which is I'm super proud of. And, so that's me, man, in a nutshell, the biggest wrestler ever. That's what they call me. It's for a good reason. But yeah, thanks for having me on here, guys. It was definitely awesome. I want to say a big shout out to Fusion Wrestling for the Taco Festival and the Taco Festival for having Fusion Wrestling. It was amazing and super, super fun. It was a good break from having the standard wrestling show. So very, very, very impressed myself with that. And that's the crazy, crazy crowds that they had. Huge crowds. I mean, huge. So thank you guys for having me, having the Big Poppy. And, of course, to stay tuned, man. I'm on YouTube as well. Everything social media is at Franco Wrestles. Kind of like it was on purpose. So, but yeah, thanks for having me on here, guys.
Our pleasure to have you here today. We enjoyed having you very much, and hopefully we'll get to do this again. Be very safe out there. I know you travel all over the world, so I want to wish you safe travels and full houses everywhere you go. Fans, get out there, buy yourself a ticket. Support Franco whenever he is in a town near you. Buy some merchandise if he's got some at the table. You can find me later today in Portland. Get out there, catch a show if there's any near you. Lots of lucha shows, I'm sure, happening today, being Cinco de Mayo. So find yourself a show, support. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll be joined by Paul Moonshine. And 1 week from today, we will be back with the miracle, Michael James. So have plans in place, and we'll talk to you soon.